This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inshallah, today's brief khatira lecture is going to be about a topic that has generated some discussion, especially in these particular days. And it goes back to ancient times. It's a concept of theology. So we're going to discuss what is this aspect, what are the controversy, and inshallah, what is perhaps the correct opinion. And the topic is about the Mahdi. Many of us have heard this notion of the Mahdi. And it is mentioned in a number of books of hadith. And it is one of the key differences between our theology, Ahlus Sunnah or Sunnism, and the non-Sunni group, the majority non-Sunni group. There's two main groups of Islam. So this notion of the Mahdi, it is one of the fundamental points of difference between us and between them. So firstly, what is the Mahdi? Secondly, what is the evidence of his existence and characteristics? And thirdly, what are some of the historical controversies that have taken place? The term Mahdi is a title, it's not a name. And it means the rightly guided. From Huda, the Mahdi, that he is guided. And so he will guide, he will be guided and he will guide other people. So the Mahdi is somebody who is correctly guided. He has hidayah. He himself is upon the straight path. Now, the term Mahdi is not found in the Quran, meaning as a person going to come, nor is it found in the most authentic books of hadith, which is Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. But we do find references to this concept in some of the other books, such as the Sunan of Abu Dawood, such as the Mustadrak of Al-Hakim, such as the Sunan ibn Majah, such as the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. We find a number of traditions about a person. In some of them, his name is mentioned, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. The Prophet ﷺ said, hadith is in Abu Dawood, a man shall come towards the end of times. His name will be my name, and the name of his father will be the name of my father, meaning Muhammad ibn Abdullah. And in other traditions, his description is given. A man shall come with an aquiline nose and a broad forehead. And in other traditions, the time frame will be mentioned. Towards the end of times, a man shall come. In yet other traditions, the conditions of the time are mentioned. The Prophet ﷺ said, there will be a time that is full of injustice and evil, and Allah will send a person who will bring about justice and harmony, justice and equilibrium. So we learn from this that in the hadith literature, there is this notion of somebody coming towards the end of times. His name is going to be Muhammad ibn Abdullah. And his title, his description will be the Mahdi. Not that his name is Mahdi. It's his description. It's an adjective, how you describe him. And he shall come towards the end of times. Now, I said there's no explicit reference in Bukhari and Muslim to the Mahdi. But there is implicit reference. There is implied reference in Bukhari and Muslim. For example, in the Sahih Muslim, our Prophet ﷺ said that when Isa ibn Maryam will come down, your imam shall be from amongst you. Wa imamukum minkum. The term imam is used. Scholars have understood this is a reference to the Mahdi, even though it's not explicit. In another hadith, also in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said, when Isa ibn Maryam comes down, he shall come down in the white minaret in Damascus. They say this is the Umayyad Mosque, which was built after the hadith was mentioned. They say this is the Umayyad Mosque. He's going to come down in the white minaret, and Salat al-Fajr adhan will have been given. The person will be leading or about to lead, and Isa ibn Maryam will come down. The person leading will say to Isa, you come. And Isa will say, no, this is for you, not for me. Now, there's no name given of the Mahdi, but our scholars say this is a reference to the Mahdi. Our scholars say this is a reference to the Mahdi. If this is the case, then we learn the Mahdi is going to be a person who is alive when Isa and Dajjal are both here, which means the very end of times. If you go back to the lectures I gave here at EPIC, the signs of the Day of Judgment, I mentioned Isa and Dajjal. They are of the major signs right before the trumpet is blown. This is at the very end of times. The fact that Isa comes down and the Mahdi is leading Salah means that the Mahdi will witness this end of times. So the coming of the Mahdi is signaling the beginning of the very end, the last final days on earth. Now, This concept of Mahdi in our tradition, by our I mean Ahlus Sunnah or Sunnism, it is very clear. This is not a supernatural person with wings, he's going to fly in the heavens. No, he's a normal human being, flesh and blood. He doesn't have supernatural powers. He doesn't have ilm al-ghayb. Nobody has ilm al-ghayb, according to us, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? He does not say kun fayakun, only Allah is like this. Rather, he is a righteous human being and a person whom the ummah agrees upon that he should lead them during the time of fitna. There's going to be a time of civil war, a time of chaos, and the ummah shall agree, this is the person who shall lead us. That is the characteristic of the Mahdi. And he shall be fighting the Dajjal until Isa comes. He won't be successful against Dajjal, but he shall fortify the believers waiting for Isa to come. Behind him, the believers will be fighting the Dajjal. And when Isa comes down, Isa will take over and Isa will kill the Dajjal. So the Mahdi, according to our tradition, is a normal human being of flesh and blood. He has no supernatural powers. He shall be born at the end of times and live a normal life and die, and that will be his demise. Now, the other group, the non-Sunni group, the major group that is, you know, the second largest group of the Ummah, that group has a very different belief about the Mahdi. And they say the Mahdi has already been born, and the Mahdi for them is the 12th Imam. They have 12 Imams, according to their theology. From their standpoint, they say the Mahdi has already been born, and the Mahdi is currently alive amongst us, but he is hidden to the masses. He could be anywhere. He could be in this audience. He could be there. He could be here. He is alive and active, helping the poor and performing miracles. And according to them, he has supernatural powers. He knows ilm al-ghayb, and he can control the creation, and they give him powers that are, from our perspective, not appropriate. Like, this is something only Allah Azza wa Jal has, but from their perspective, they say, no, all of the Imams have it, and this is now the 12th Imam who is currently alive, but he's in hiding. They say that the Imam is alive, but in hiding. And when the Imam returns, he's not going to be born, he's already born. He's going to be vuhur, he's going to become apparent. And he will reveal himself, kashf, he will reveal himself. Not that he's going to be born and live a normal, no, according to us, the Mahdi is going to be born, normal birth, live a normal life. In fact, in one hadith, in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, there's a reference that the Mahdi might not even be pious in his youth, and he will become pious when he becomes older. The phrase is, يُصْلِحُهُ اللَّهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ. In one night, Allah will rectify him, which means he was not rectified, which means he might have not been the best person. Then one night or something's going to happen and he will become a very pious person. Then people will begin to respect him, and then people shall eventually say, we want you to be in charge. And then the times and the end of times will happen. According to the other group, the Mahdi is currently alive and hidden amongst us. And the Mahdi, when he comes back, the main purpose for that group is not to fight against Dajjal or to... No, it's something that is actually awkward to say. And that is, according to them, the Mahdi will bring back the rights of the Ahlul Bayt and will exact revenge upon those that oppose the Ahlul Bayt. And if you understand this, then fine. If not, then don't worry about it. This is one of the awkward topics. We don't want to flare sectarianism, but we have to teach facts. So we try to unify as much as possible, but this is a fact that does divide, and we try to explain without provoking hatred. We're trying to be factual without incendiary topics, but fact of the matter is, some people from that group believe that the Mahdi is going to massacre not the followers of Dajjal, but Muslims who didn't agree with their theology. And that's obviously problematic because that raises sectarianism. We strongly disagree with this. So this is Sunnism, this is non-Sunnism. I didn't mention the term on purpose. Now, has there been any controversy within our Sunni Islam? Yes, definitely. There has always been dissenting voices even within our tradition. Even, for example, some of the Tabi'un, the students of the Sahaba, they believed that Isa ibn Maryam is going to be the Mahdi. Not that there's going to be a person separate from him. They say when the Prophet is talking about the Mahdi, this is a prediction of Isa, that he is the person who will be rightly guided. There has been that sentiment. Also, in our own tradition, the founder of the Abbasid Empire, what is his name? Who can tell me? The founder of the Abbasids. The founder, don't Google now, Yeshua. Quit Googling. No, that's the main fighter, Abu Ja'far al-Mansur. Abu Ja'far al-Mansur is the founder of the Abbasids. He actually, his name was Abdullah. He named his son Muhammad, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. And he gave him the laqab al-Mahdi. So one of the Abbasid khulafa is al-Mahdi billah, whose name is Muhammad ibn Abdullah. And his father set up the scenario hoping his son would be the Mahdi. Interesting, right? He hoped that his son will be the Mahdi. And this is the first time out of many, many, many times that people tried to script a Hollywood script to try to bring the catalyst that the Mahdi comes. No, you cannot script Allah's Qadr. You cannot script the actual plan that's going to happen. Allah will bring it to happen. You cannot act the act. When the Mahdi comes, he will be the Mahdi. You cannot write an entire dialogue and pretend you are the Mahdi. Throughout history, more than 40 people, throughout all of history, we know of at least 40, there are more, I'm sure, that have claimed to be the Mahdi. More than 40, beginning with Al-Mahdi Billah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abu Ja'far al-Mansur. This is the first, and he's within our tradition, Sunnism, right? And there were many others, Al-Harith ibn Suraj, throughout history, even recently. Any Sudanese in the audience? Where are our Sudanese friends? Where are? Okay, you know the Mahdi movement of Sudan, right? The Mahdi movement, they're still around to this day, are they not? Yes, there's still a group in Sudan. 150 years ago, somebody claimed to be the Mahdi in Sudan, and he fought the British. And for a while he was successful, then the British completely, you know, decimated his followers. But the group remains, and he claimed he was the Mahdi. And there is a movement, to this day they have a leader, they consider him to be the Mahdi. In India as well, I don't want to be too explicit, but there is a group, some of you know it, that they are a slightly different group than ours, even though they call themselves Sunni, but they are a slightly different group, and they have a Mahdi. They're in the tens of thousands. I have met one or two of them myself. They're in the tens of thousands, and they have this. And in Iran, there came a fad 200 years ago. Multiple people claimed to be the Mahdi. And one of them founded the Baha'i movement, the Baha'i Firqa. Its founder was a Muslim who claimed to be the Mahdi. And then he founded and broke away. And another group called the Babis, if you know them, it's also from within that time frame. He also said he's the Mahdi. And then what happened. In 1979, I have given multiple lectures about this, right? A person claimed to be the Mahdi in Arabia, in Saudi Arabia. And he hijacked Mecca itself. Some of you who are above the age of 45, 50, you remember this. And I have given multiple lectures because I have interviewed dozens of people. I was too young to remember the incident, but by the time I went to study in the University of Medina, many of my teachers were undergraduates when this movement was active. So I interviewed myself, multiple people who were aware of this movement, some of whom followed it for a while and then left the movement. So I interviewed myself, eyewitnesses, people who were in the house of this person and discussing plans and whatnot. I have lots of information. Maybe one day I'll give more lectures because some of it is very sensitive. But in 1979, a person by the name of Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Qahtani claimed to be the Mahdi. Now, in one hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud, it mentions that the Mahdi shall be given bay'ah in front of the Kaaba, between the Rukun and the Maqam. That the Mahdi will take the bay'ah between the Rukun and the Maqam, i.e. between the, when it says Rukun over here, it means the Hajar Aswad, and the Maqam, it means the Maqam Ibrahim. So between the Maqam Ibrahim and the door of the Kaaba, basically, the Mahdi will be given the oath of allegiance. This is in a hadith in Abu Dawud. Okay? In a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, it mentions that, not by name, because remember, Bukhari and Muslim don't mention the Mahdi by name. But it mentions one of the signs at the end of times is that a righteous man shall flee to Mecca, and the armies will be sent against him to kill him. And Allah Azza wa Jal will cause the earth to open up and destroy all the armies, and the man shall be protected. Now, our scholars say this is the Mahdi. The hadith does not say Mahdi, but who else can it be? And this is the predominant position, that one of the signs of the Mahdi is that the people will choose him as a leader. The actual leaders will not like the guy, so the actual leaders will want to kill him. He's going to flee for his life to Mecca. He doesn't have an army. The armies of the Muslim kings, they're going to be, in Sahih Muslim it says, three sons of a king are going to fight for power, and the Kaaba is going to be center. So these are all predictions towards the end of the times. If you don't know, 4 years ago when I moved here, I gave a whole long series about the signs of Day of Judgment. You can listen right here in Epic. You can listen to that. And I went over all of these signs. So in Sahih Bukhari, it mentions that the earth shall open up and Allah will destroy the armies that are sent against the righteous man. The righteous man, who can he be other than the Mahdi? So in 1979, somebody compiled all of these ahadith and wrote a Hollywood drama. Astaghfirullah, this person mentally deranged. He said, let me hold the Kaaba hostage and let me do all of these ahadith, and Allah Azza wa Jal will send his hidden army and the earth will swallow up the army of this government and I will be safe. And so if you know what happened on the 1st of Muharram in 1400 Hijri, auspicious new day, 1st of Muharram 1400, he locked up all of the doors of the Kaaba. He took his 550 people with armed machine guns hidden and whatnot, and they held the Kaaba hostage. They held the Imam of the Haram hostage. They took the microphone and they announced the Mahdi had come. There's actual video recordings and audio recordings on YouTube in Arabic. Very poor quality, but actual audio recordings. You can listen to them speaking if you listen very carefully, because it's poor recording. And the man is quoting the hadith of Abu Dawood. The Prophet ﷺ said that the Mahdi will come and he will be given bay'ah between the rukun and the maqam. And here he is, and all of you come and give him bay'ah. You do not take a hadith and make a Hollywood drama out of it. It happens, it happens. You do not expedite it. But they thought this is their job. Of course, hundreds of people were killed. Innocent hujjaj were killed. For the first time in 1,000 years, tawaf stopped around the Kaaba. For 2 weeks, the Kaaba people did not visit it because of the hostage holding. And the army had to attack, and things happened back and forth inside the Kaaba, inside the Haram. Machine guns fighting one another, people died, bloodshed, electrocution, chemical warfare. I've gone into detail in other lectures. This happened in 1979. Literally, you know, when I was a child, I wasn't aware of it. I'm not saying it's not like generations ago. It happened in our own lifetimes. And of course, the supposed Mahdi was killed in this battle, and all of his followers were executed, that were captured alive. And clearly he wasn't the Mahdi. There was no earth swallowing up an army, whatnot. You don't play games with the Sharia. You don't put yourself, I am the Mahdi. No, it doesn't work that way. In fact, one of our scholars said, anybody who claims to be the Mahdi disqualifies himself from being the Mahdi. I repeat, anybody who claims he is the Mahdi disqualifies himself, because the Mahdi shall not claim it until the people give it to him when all of these miracles happen. So, to be very clear, there are many people now, especially on the internet, claiming to be the Mahdi. Any person who needs to send out tweets and YouTube videos, many of which are fake and AI and whatnot, any person who needs to talk about bizarre dreams, telling you he's the Mahdi, automatically disqualifies himself from being the Mahdi. I repeat, no person who claims to be the Mahdi is the Mahdi. The Mahdi shall not claim to be the Mahdi. The Mahdi will be a righteous person, he will run away from power, run away from fame. The people will love him. The people will respect him. The governments will want to kill him. He's going to run for his life to the Kaaba. Then when you see that miracle happen, then you know this is the Mahdi. Until that happens, no, we do not directly get involved. One final footnote here. Is it something that is completely unanimously agreed upon within our Sunni Islam? Response is no. The vast majority of ulama say yes, there is a concept called the Mahdi. But throughout history, there have always been some ulama, you know, minority, but they have been there. Ibn Khaldun, for example, said all of the ahadith of the Mahdi, they are weak. And another scholar of the 70s, a great scholar, the chief judge of the state of Qatar, Abdullah al-Mahmud, Sheikh Abdullah al-Mahmud, he is actually one of the contemporaries of Sheikh bin Baz. He's a student of Muhammad ibn Ibrahim. He's coming from definitely the mainstream, you know, hardcore Sunni tradition. He's not an outsider. He was a very core, like, defender of the idea there is no Mahdi in Sunni Islam. He said, and he's coming from Sunnism, that the concept of Mahdi is imported from the non-Sunni group into Sunnism, right? Interesting anecdote. He said this during the time of this incident in Mecca. And he was very public about this. These people are all wrong because there is no concept. And he said it in a public conference. In that conference were great scholars. Sheikh Al-Albani, if you know his name. Sheikh Yusuf Al-Qardawi. Sheikh Muhammad Al-Ghazali, if you know his name. All of these people were in that conference. Now, Sheikh Abdullah Al-Mahmud was senior to them in age. And he made a blunt statement. La Mahdiyata fil Islam. This is something that has come from the non-Sunni group and infiltrated our Sunni books. All of the ahadith of the Mahdi, according to him, are weak and fabricated. Sheikh Al-Albani said, I want to have a debate with you, as a young man at the time, or middle-aged man. And in the room was Sheikh Yusuf Al-Qardawi and Sheikh Muhammad Al-Ghazali and others. Like, can you imagine this, you know? And according to the people that were there, I'm just listening to them, according to the people that were there, Sheikh Abdullah was not convinced and he remained firm on his position. There is no such thing as the Mahdi. Now, interestingly enough, Sheikh Qardawi eventually adopted this position as well. And Sheikh Qardawi also said, I don't accept these ahadith as being authentic, and this is something that is not something that we should believe in. Khair, that's their opinion. I respect their opinion. I'm telling you factually, the vast majority of our scholars, Ibn Hajar, Ash-Shawkani, great scholars of hadith, As-Sakhawi and others, they said these hadith are authentic. So the default position is that there is this notion of Mahdi. However, in our tradition, the Mahdi does not form a major basis of our theology. It's in the footnotes. It's there. As for the non-Sunni group, the belief in the Mahdi is, of course, central. It is the pillar of their theology. And for us, it is something incidental. So much so, even if somebody denies it and says the hadith are not authentic, he's still within Sunnism. We've had people that have said this, that, yeah, this concept is not authentic for our traditions. He's still within Sunnism. In any case, I wanted to conclude on the key point here because there's a lot of confusion and people are saying this. Listen to me carefully. What did I tell you? If somebody claims he's the Mahdi, he cannot be the Mahdi. So understand this point here. I actually believe there is somebody going to come called the Mahdi, right? But anybody who claims this right now is a liar. We will only know the Mahdi. When will we know? When the signs come. And what is the main sign? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will miraculously defend the Mahdi in the haram itself. And the Kaaba shall protect this person. And armies sent to kill him, that army will be vanquished without any bloodshed from our side, because we are not allowed to shed blood in Mecca. But Allah Azza wa Jal will cause an earthquake, and that's yani Allah's qadr upon those people. When that happens, that is the sign of the Mahdi. Until then, final point, I keep on saying final point, one of our scholars mentioned, why does Sheikh Qardawi not like the concept of the Mahdi, by the way? Sheikh Qardawi, and I respect him immensely, Sheikh Qardawi said, too many people have stopped political activism, thinking that the Mahdi will come and save them. And he said, this is not Islam. Even if there is the Mahdi or not, you don't just sit back and say, we're going to do nothing. You must try your best to bring about a better world. You must try to bring about better society. And when the Mahdi comes, good. But until the Mahdi comes, we all have work to do. And we cannot use the concept of the Mahdi to become immobilized, to become lazy. If the Mahdi comes, when the Mahdi comes, good for us. Actually, we don't want to be there when he does come. We hope and pray we don't see that day, right? But regardless of that belief, we still have an obligation to form a better society and to bring about as much peace and justice as we can. And with that, inshallah, I hope there was some benefit in these comments. I will continue next week. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيماً.